Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve Gadlin's in our studio, though. Right now we're visiting with the guy who created those cat drawings. Maybe that was his greatest claim to fame, although he's an inveterate inventor and creative thinker. And welcome back to the studio, Steve.
Thanks for having me, John.
Is that your greatest claim to fame?
You know, it's probably the one I put the least of myself in, and it's been the most successful. So you tell me what that means.
What do you mean? You were drawing cats for people.
You're absolutely right. It was that one was kind of a knockoff idea that I took farther than I should have, and it's had definitely the longest shelf life, and I still enjoy it.
Does it still happen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I'm doing about 10 cat drawings a week at this point.
The idea is you'll draw a cat for people, mm-hmm. and people, for some reason, thought, okay, great, but they aren't real sophisticated drawings.
No, I think the real hook is that I'm not an artist, and I can't draw very well.
How long does it take you to draw a cat for someone?
About 2.5 minutes, John.
So did they say, hey, I want a cat that's dressed like a Northwestern football player? Do they give you some criteria?
Oh, they're very specific. And if I don't meet every detail, I'll hear from them later.
Are a lot of them sex acts?
A couple. I know I've done over 21,000, John. I'll say under 0.5% have been sex acts.
21,000 at $9.95 a drawing.
And I used to sell them for 30 because the orders were coming in too fast, and I only have two hands.
You came up with this idea. You did a video. It and the idea went viral. Mark mm-hmm. Cuban actually bought into your company on Shark Tank.
He did. Yeah, it was quite a surprise.
So it's still a company, and does he still make money then off of the drawings?
He does not. Mark actually exited the cat drawing, the whole industry, a few years ago. So
yeah.
It's just a solo enterprise, and you know, not because I draw every single cat. It's not the type of thing I could scale to a billionaire's liking. But we got along swimmingly, and he drew a couple cats as well. So
you drew a cat for me once.
I did.
I'm sorry, I don't remember where it is.
That's fair. You know, I do get pictures from people to this day who have galleries of them hanging on their walls.
Really? They've got more than one.
There are people who come back to me every year to commemorate birthdays, anniversaries, years of sobriety.
It's a Sharpie on a white piece of paper.
Well, these days it's an Apple Pencil on an iPad. But yeah.
And then you hit print.
Well, I just email it to them these days.
They don't even exist. Really?
Yeah. I was NFTs before NFTs were a thing, I suppose.
No kidding. Yeah. Have you thought about that, Mr. Creative Thinker?
You know, I tried. But I tend to avoid industries that might actually make me money, John.
Well, so. I can do the math on cat drawings, so you've made enough to put a kid through a year or two of college.
You'd think, but there are a lot of expenses that go along with trying to nurture a business. And I don't even say that in jest. You know, sure, it was stick figure cat drawings, but you know, I had to have a presence at trade shows. I was renting office space. I was paying people to help me with fulfillment, which was a real beast back when they were on paper.
If you get 1,000 orders, somebody's got to stuff 1,000 envelopes.
Absolutely.
And buy 1,000 envelopes and pay postage for 1,000.
Postage. You know, there was the coloring them in, which I had outsourced as well.
No kidding.
I was a busy cat artist, John. Didn't have time for that.
So you had that.
Yeah.
I know that you're here today not to talk about that, but to talk about something else that I'm embarrassed to even mention.
Sure.
So I have to take a break here in a minute anyway. The cat drawing guy.
Yeah.
Lightning round. Tell me the other ventures you've engaged in.
Gosh, I tried to sell raccoon penis bones. Was shut down with that. I have
by the raccoon penis industry?
I think so. Yeah, I think I was shut down by Big
penis.
Yeah, thanks for saying it, John.
Okay.
But, you know, I had some t-shirt companies. I tried to sell shirts that had two film names on them, which people didn't enjoy. I had a weird t-shirt subscription service.
Which I paid for.
That's right.
My nephew got a subscription to that.
That's right. And, you know, several other theater creations. I had a game show pilot and a few other pilots that I put together as
you
well.
Also wrote a play with a Nigerian scammer.
Well, I let him write the play, but yeah, I did. We produced his play and got a very famous Chicago radio personality to provide voiceover.
Okay, so your latest creative idea,
yeah,
which you're going to try and to turn into money, is called what?
It's called the fart pedal, John.
The creative cat drawing guy is in our studio, And then there was one other thing, Steve. You just mentioned to us what some of your business ventures were. I guess I often think of the play. Some Nigerian scammer said, hey, I need money to get money for the prince or whatever it was. And you wrote him back. But was his original overture to you to write a play?
No, he wanted me to invest $50,000 in a play that he promised me would make a handsome return.
And then you engaged back and forth with him, and eventually the two of you did write a play together.
I gave him $50, and he wrote me a play. We put it on at the Annoyance Theater. It was great.
Did that play make any money?
We did. It was very popular and very fun at the time. Yeah. You know, we seeded it with a ridiculous concept. He had to write about a lot of pop culture references that he had no frame of reference for, so it made for a very entertaining play.
Your latest business is what?
It's called the Fart Pedal.
And what is that?
So, guitar pedals, John. I don't know if you play, but they are little metal boxes that you plug your guitar into and add effects to, like distortion or reverb or wah-wah. You know, barely any guitar player will play straight on their guitar without adding some sort of digital effects to it. So one night I was searching the internet looking for a guitar pedal that turned your guitar noises into fart noises, and was really surprised to learn that it didn't exist. So I chatted with an engineer friend of mine, and the fart pedal was born. We're really happy to have produced a handful of prototypes that work and turn your guitar noises into fart noises.
Okay, so here's what that sounds like, producer Elif. Hit it. It goes on.
Yeah. So what you see there, John, is the guitar noises, they suddenly became fart noises.
I noticed that. Yeah. So if I'm playing the guitar and then I just hit that, bam.
Yeah, then suddenly your guitar noises are replaced through your amplifier with, and these aren't just fart noises, John. When I say fart noises, you might think, you know, some silly dime store fart machine fart noises. No, I worked with a sound design company in Chicago, an award-winning sound design company, to really craft.
Are you serious?
Absolutely serious. Most of the money and research in this has gone into custom, bespoke fart noises that I have the exclusive license for.
For instance, that's one of them.
Yeah, you haven't heard that one before. And these are tailored for your guitar's amplifier. Really tuned for live performance. So, you know, when you play them like that, though, one at a time, I think you lose the effect of what this is.
Do you think I'm doing a disservice?
Well, the fart pedal is really designed for those blistering solos, right? Where you get long stretches of continuous fart noises to really punch up the music.
Honestly, I thought I was helping you if I thought... I will cut them into little pieces because nobody wants to hear a long string of those. But I must say, producer Elif, when we were previewing this in the office, was laughing pretty hard.
There you go.
At your audio. Okay, that'll be enough of that.
I'll mention, John, the pedal itself has a switch so you can, you know, toggle between wet and dry, which has meaning in the music world and now has an additional meaning here on the fart pedal.
So what would be the application of this? How would somebody use it?
Yeah, there's two. So I see it as, one, a really fun thing to add to your music in studio or in live performance. But two, because I know that when you hear fart, you think prankster, we're packaging the fart pedal with these decals that cover the fart pedal logo with innocuous, subtle, actual guitar pedal names. So it's the kind of thing you can sneak onto your friend's pedal board so that when they're in live performance, they hit this thing expecting some extra distortion or extra punch, and suddenly they're just amplifying farts.
Yeah. Well, so... And he thought he was going to get some special effect, and he gets that.
Yeah, and then suddenly... The audience is staring at him, and he's staring at them. And
so, okay, but then that answers the question, because I thought you imagined it as a sort of compliment to somebody's musical performance, but it's more a gag gift.
I think it's both, to be honest. I think,
do you know?
Yeah, I think a guitarist, my vision is that new guitarists aged, say, you know, 11 to 16 are going to want the fart pedal before any other pedal. It's a great show-off tool too, right? No matter how good or bad you play the guitar, the fart pedal output is the fart pedal output.
You're married.
I am.
kids.
A bunch of them, yeah.
And what does your wife say about this?
She says, wow, the fart pedal sounds like the perfect accessory for the for today's guitar. No, you know, she's used to my ridiculous ideas, John, and doesn't really say much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good wife. I mean, that's a good, that, you know, or
she's
spouse.
Wonderful.
I mean, that's what you would hope from somebody who's supportive.
Absolutely.
I guess, does she care? Do you care how successful this is? Do you think this is going to sell?
I do. So right now we have our five prototypes, and we're going to launch a Kickstarter to fund a production run of 250 pedals. And the hope, you know, by approaching it that way, the investment at this point is slim. Either I raise the funding to produce the pedals and make a profit, or the market tells me that, no, nah, they just want the few.
How much are they going to cost?
There'll be a range. Retail probably around $150, $160, which is pretty in line with the guitar effects pedal that you'll find in a
store.
Wow. Yeah.
I could just do that on my own and save the $150.
Again, John, these are bespoke custom fart noises for which I have the exclusive license. And they have, if you do hear them somewhere else, that's someone I need to see in court.
I want to go to that trial.
Not to be the peanut gallery over here, but I honestly think that that's going to be a lucrative thing.
You do?
Because
do you really?
Yes, because they had machines at Urban Outfitters back in the day. They had sound machines, and like my sister and I would just push the fart button all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Because see, I love Steve and I love his ideas, and I don't think this is a good idea. I'm not comfortable with the word or the sounds on the radio. So I'm thinking, Steve, are you sure? But maybe this is a home run.
So most guitar players that I've demoed it for become very excited about it and want to know how they can add it to their collection. Yeah, because these pedal boards, John, the guitar player will have maybe 10 pedals on the board, and it's really their signature. What they show up to a gig with are the combination of pedals they have.
But these guys aren't going to buy it for their music. They're going to buy it to spoof on each other.
Well, what's music, really? If not a strung together collection of sounds, some of which may be farts.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so you're doing a Kickstarter campaign?
I am doing a Kickstarter campaign. It will launch in a week or two, but we already have the fartpedal.com up and running for people who want to
be
first in line.
You can
give us your email address and be the first to know when these are available to the public.
Hey, Steve, what's that website again?
Well, it's thefartpedal.com, John.
Thefartpedal.com.
Yeah.
Okay, and when do you think they would ship? Would they be here in time for Christmas?
They will. So if all goes well, and we fund by the end of, by mid-October, production starts, and we'll ship these out so you can put them in a stocking or under the tree.
You're going to put them in cans?
We are. So for the first 250 we sell, they'll be numbered, signed, and packaged in a beautiful can of beans. You'll need like an actual can opener to get them out.
Seriously?
Yeah. And this,
that's clever.
I thought so. It's really one of the most labor and cost intensive parts of production, but I think it's an important one.
Do you know how many beans are in the average can of beans?
No, we won't actually have beans in the can.
The answer is 239.
Really?
And do you know why they don't put one more bean in there?
Why, John?
Because then it would be too farty.
That's good.
So, by the way, we also wanted to do a shout out for a listener.
Absolutely. I want to say hi to Radha.
Okay.
Hey, Radha.
I don't know if Radha wants to actually be mentioned in this conversation.
She does.
She does.
Hey, Radha, if you play the guitar, then I've got a product for you.
One more time. The website is
thefartpedal.com.
I wish you nothing but success, and I want you to keep doing what you're doing. You know, be unfettered by convention and people like me who are nervous about if it's going to work. Because you don't swing that way, man. You go for it every time.
Hey, keep putting a microphone in front of my face. I'm going to keep dreaming stuff up, John.
That's Steve Gadlin, self-proclaimed serial silly projects guy. TheFartPedal.com.